Hall of Faith. Not the Hall of Fame, but the Hall of Faith. And that should be what we're known for, is our faith, rather than our fame. And the Bible says about Moses, we're going to be preaching about Moses. The Bible says in verse number 23 that by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Amen. I like that, don't you? Of course, it goes on about Moses and the children of Israel, but we'll stop reading there for sake of time. Father, we come this morning in the name of Jesus, and we realize that preaching is a spiritual task and requires spiritual enablement and spiritual anointing and spiritual power. And we pray this morning that you'll fill me with the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray this morning that you would forgive and cleanse me from anything and everything, outwardly and inwardly, privately, publicly, that would grieve or quench the Spirit of God. I pray, Lord, that you'll loose us this morning and let us run well. For your glory, not for my reputation, Lord, not to impress anyone here, but for your glory this morning. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name. Give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Lord, if we'll get little, you'll get big. Lord, I pray you'll help us to decrease, that you might increase. Lord, speak to every heart. We're here on spiritual business this morning. We're not here to go through some little religious rut or routine. We're here this morning to hear from heaven, to have our spiritual lives challenged from the Word of God. I pray as a result of service this morning that we'll never be the same. Lord, our lives will be strengthened, our faith strengthened. I pray you'll speak to us in these days. And out of your Word, I pray, let us see you who is invisible. We'll thank you today for what you do. Those among us that would be lost without you, we pray that you would speak to them. Draw them this morning to yourself. Our Father, we know and can recommend this morning that salvation is the greatest thing that could happen to anyone. To come to know Jesus, oh, it's a lot different than knowing about Jesus. Lord, knowing you this morning experientially, Father, I thank you, Lord, for that. 28 years ago, you saved me by your marvelous grace. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for intervening in my life, getting in my way. Thank you for turning the red light on in my pathway. I thank you for that. Thank you for disturbing my heart then and letting me know that sin cannot content my soul, that I needed a Savior. Hallelujah. Father, we pray you take the message this morning. Use it for your glory. We ask it in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, we've been trying to preach a series of messages on the subject of finding security in an insecure world. It's a very common report to hear some more layoffs, to hear of other stores closing down. It seems to be a weekly and almost a daily report of something negative that seemingly is about our economy going down or declining. And certainly we are in insecure days. Nothing of this world seems to have the element of security about it. Nothing of this world seems to be definite, seems to be concrete and dependable, something you can put your confidence on. I'm telling you, materially, everything we've got, we could lose it before this week is over. I'm telling you, that's right. Physically, Not just materially, but physically. Nothing about that secure. Our physical health could be here today and gone today. Amen. We know nothing of what goes on inside our body of each and every day. Things we're exposed to. So physically, we're facing insecure days. Financially, facing insecure days. We heard some more layoffs this week, even right here at TRW. And just a lot of things going on. People losing jobs and so forth. We have, I think, 4 in our church that have lost their jobs as well. And so we're just living in insecure days. But the point I believe God is trying to make to us this in this series of messages is that because securities may crumble or weaken, that doesn't mean spiritually that we have to follow it. What is happening in the area of our economics does not mean that we have to follow that spiritually. Amen. There's too many examples in the Word of God of people and families that stayed faithful to God in famines. Amen. Now we know their son, like Naomi and Abimelech, in Ruth chapter 1, they when a famine hit, they collapsed and chose to go to Moab. And we know that that was a very regretful and a very wrong move on their part. Better beware of this, and I want to hear this myself, that when famines come and lack comes, my friend, and less comes and loss comes, that we don't make decisions based on sight and feelings. Because most of the time it'll be a wrong move. We need to make sure, as was true with Moses, the driving force in our life better be our faith. And our faith should not be anchored in the bank account. Our faith should not be anchored in the government. Our faith should not be anchored in our abilities. But our faith should be anchored in the Almighty, the Sovereign God of Heaven. And but we've been preaching about Habakkuk. We preached a couple of messages out of the book of Habakkuk, where their economic situation on the national scale collapsed. And it fell apart. But you know what Habakkuk said he was going to do? Habakkuk said, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to stay true to God. Here's what he said. Yet I will rejoice. Now this is the verse following the verse that tells about their... Well, let's read it right quick. Although the fig tree shall not blossom. These were their economic incomes. The fig tree shall not blossom. Neither shall fruit be in the vines. The laborers of the olive shall fail. The fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. What are we going to do? Fall apart, complain, whine, quit church, don't read your Bible, don't pray, give up on God, turn your back on God? No. Habakkuk, what are you going to do when your economic situation is at a loss? What are you going to do? The next verse said, yet, in spite of that, yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Hallelujah. Amen. Habakkuk said, I'm going to rejoice in the very thing that the enemy cannot break in and steal, and that's my salvation. I may not can shout about a bank account. I may not can shout about a car or a house. I may not can shout about, my friend, other things of this life. But I can always rejoice in the God of my salvation, because God will not change, nor will my salvation change. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I'd like to go back and hit on that again. Amen. But we preached about that. And then we preached 2 or 3 messages out of Luke chapter number 18. How that the widow there, how that she was facing days of insecurity. And because her husband had died, her husband was her security. He was her provider. He was her protector. And so on. But as a result, her being a widow, she didn't give up when the adversary came, trying to take advantage of her. Facing insecure days, what did she do? She went to the one that could help her. She went to the one that had the resources and got help from him. Amen? What's that telling us? In days of insecurity, we better know who it is that is sufficient. We better know who it is that's got all we need. And His name's God. Amen? That's exactly right. Well, I want to use a third illustration in the Bible. The Lord's really impressed our heart to preach this morning. And his name is Moses. Found in our text that we read in Hebrews chapter number 11. Hope you keep your Bibles open there. Follow along with us as we explore this Moses dealing with the security issue. Amen. He was dealing with the security issue. Now, there's a difference between Moses and Habakkuk. Habakkuk didn't invite his circumstance. Habakkuk was just, it just happened. An enemy invaded the nation and all of a sudden their economic situation was terrible. No income. Everything was a disaster. In Luke 18, the widow, she didn't ask for that to happen. She didn't ask for that to happen, for her husband to die. So they were what you might say, just a victim of circumstance. It just happened. But they didn't quit. Quitters will never be winners. Winners will never be quitters. Amen. Just, you may not be able to run, but just walk. Make sure you make each day at least keep making a step. When you stand still, you're in danger of stagnation. Keep your momentum going. Read the Word of God. I'm talking about to save people. Read the Word of God. Pray. Maintain a level of spirituality. That'll be what will carry you, my friend, when everything's falling apart. But we find here with in Hebrews 11, Moses was different. The other two didn't choose their situation. Moses did choose. Moses made a willful, knowing choice to step away from security to go with the spiritual. Are you listening? Now there's going to be a battle, and is a battle, in your life and mine, and I don't see it getting too much better. The battle is going to be between two subjects. It's going to be between security or securities and spirituality. That's what the battle is going to be about. Well, Moses, when he had come to years, those two conflicting things got in his life, and Moses had to make a choice. Am I going to stay with Egypt and be secure, or am I going to go with God and be spiritual? Now, in your life, that's a battle. You that are saved, that's a battle. Not was a battle, is a battle. Will continue to be a battle. In your life, your flesh likes the security of Egypt. But in you, as a saved person, you have the new man on the inside. That new nature wants spirituality. Your flesh wants security. So, when we're living in a day when securities are questionable and falling apart, and you start falling apart with it, guess what that's telling me? That's telling me that you're living after the flesh. Because the flesh is hooked up with the security of Egypt. Egypt's a type of the world. But the new man is hooked up with the spirit and the spiritual and the sovereign, and therefore it will not fall apart because God is not falling apart. Amen. Just thought I'd let y'all know that. I talked to him this morning, by the way. Did you? I talked to him this morning, and he hadn't drank any Maalox. He didn't have to sleep last night. He wasn't even tired. He's not feeling bad. He's not worried. He's not sucking on a Rolaid. He's not calling the socket network. He's not worried. He's in control. And if my spirit is hooked up with a God that's in control, then no matter what happens in my life, there's going to be an element of faith that says God can handle it. God is my sufficiency. But anyway, there's going to be a battle between the securities and the spiritual. Now, listen. You can have the securities and still be spiritual. Okay? When I'm talking about being spiritual, I'm not talking about you got to sell everything you got and go live on a stump in the woods somewhere. You can have securities and be spiritual. But there'll be a time in your life, many times, that those two are going to butt heads. Those two are going to butt heads. Amen? If you can keep them in their perspective, Spirituality first, securities next or last or somewhere down the list, you'll be fine. But I'll tell you, in the race, the securities is trying to gain first position. Securities is trying to gain first importance and priority. And if you're not careful, your focus will be on that and you'll let your spiritual come down into the rankings, way on back in the list. And next thing you know, you're in a mess spiritually.
Amen.
Amen. A lot of people look at what Moses stepped away from. And it did look foolish in the eyes of the Egyptians. Moses, I can't believe you did that. You had it made. The son of Pharaoh's daughter, next in line for the throne. Man, Moses, you had it made. And you stepped away from securities to go with the spiritual? Amen, he did do it. That's why he's in this chapter we read about tonight. Had he stayed with Egypt and stayed with that prominence and preeminence and that position of Pharaoh's daughter and would have been no doubt the next one on the throne had Pharaoh died. I tell you, if he'd have stayed with that, we would have never read about him in Hebrews chapter 11.
Amen?
Amen? That's right. If he'd have stayed with the Egyptian scenario, guess what would have happened? He'd have died successful. He'd have died secure. He had died, my friend, with mountains of pleasures all around him, and we would have never heard no more about him. But he chose, when those two come to head, he chose to turn away from the security and go with the spiritual. And guess what? We're still preaching about him today. We're still being encouraged with Moses' faith today. Amen. Don't look as much at what he stepped away from. Look what he stepped into. He stepped into the will of God. Amen. He stepped into the wealth of God. He stepped into the way of God. Amen. I like it. Don't you? Well, amen. He noticed and realized the conflict there. He could have stayed with the securities but not had peace. He could have stayed with the Egyptian life and not had peace in his heart. He chose to go with the spiritual, even though that involved suffering, even though that involved persecution. Why did he do that? Because of the peace and the rewards and all that went with it. Amen. See, if you're giving yourself to securities, you're living to please yourself. But if you give yourself to the spiritual, you're living to please Him, God. Amen. Amen. God's writing a book about you. Do you know that? Amen. And some of those chapters in the book of your life may not be all glorious and wonderful and prosperous. It may be some chapters of loss and chapters of things like that, negative things. Amen. But it's just another chapter. Amen. It's just another phase. It's just another step. If you belong to God, you're not just aimlessly floating around on the wings of happenstance and chance and luck and fortune, misfortune, bad fortune. No, you're, my friend, under the control of a sovereign God of providence. Brother Mark's teaching on the book of Esther. Man, that book's dripping with the providence of God. And one of the greatest definitions I ever heard Brother Mark gave it there about providence, it's the hand of God in the glove of history. Amen? Sometimes when you're going through something, you look and you say, where's God at? But after you get through it and you look back, you say, well, there He was the whole time. Amen? Amen. But with faith, says God, whether I can track you or not, I can still trust you. Amen. Whether I see you or not, I still know that you're there. You've covenanted yourself to me. You said you'd never leave me nor forsake me. Thank God your relationship to me, God, is not conditioned on government and Wall Street and Dow Jones and the investment and 401ks. And amen. God, your relationship to me is not attached to the condition there in the East and what the ragheads are going to do and all that bunch of junk. Amen. I'm going to tell you, praise God, we're not governed by the government. We're governed by God. And of His kingdom, there shall be no end. Woo! Amen. Well, let me get on with it. Amen. I'm talking about finding security in an insecure world.
Oh, the devil don't want, listen, the devil wants you to collapse. He wants you to fall apart. He wants you to be controlled by fear. That'll not give a good testimony to sinners. When they hear that you lose your job, or they hear that you're going through this physically, you're going through this materially, you're going through this whatever situation, and they see that you're falling apart, that's not going to impress them. That's not going to witness to them. But if they see you in times of difficulty, staying faithful to God, brother, it'll have a witness to them. Amen? Amen. Boy, I feel the Lord on that. Amen? Always keep the spiritual as top priority. Always. That's good advice for us all this morning. Keep the spiritual top priority. No matter what happens with the bank account or the bank book, make sure you keep your relationship to the black book right. Amen. No matter what happens in your life concerning circumstances, make sure your relationship to Christ and His church stays where it needs to be. Amen. 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 Listen, you may not be in charge of your finances far as the future is concerned. Amen. I'm sure that you would never choose, if that would be the case, you'd never choose unemployment and losing things and, amen, not having money. You wouldn't choose that. So sometimes you're not in, you don't choose the physical sometimes. I don't know anybody that said, well, I tell you what, I'm going to choose cancer. No, you don't have a choice a lot of times in the physical. You don't have choice a lot of times in the financial or even in the material. Amen. The material would involve your car and such like. Amen. Brother Aaron was talking about was it your water heater? No, that was the Rogers water heater. What was yours, sis? Dishwasher. Well, they never went there and said, you know what? I believe we're going to choose today that our dishwasher tire all to pieces. Well, I choose where the power's going out. I choose the water's going to cut a flip and pipes are going to burst and I choose that my car's going to quit running and motor's going to blow. No, we don't have a choice when it comes to the finances, when it comes to the material, when it comes to the physical and or even the national. I don't want to get in that. That'd burn a good message right there. Well, there's a lot of things in this nation we don't have no choice in. That's right. I ain't gonna get on it. But what you do have a choice in is the spiritual. You cannot, you don't choose a lot of things that happen physically and economically and so forth and all those that I listed, but brother, how you are spiritually is your choice. Because your spirituality is not economic. It is not, my friend, material. Your spirituality is based on one thing, and that's your relationship to God. And no matter what happens around us, you can still walk with God. Enoch did. How many knows about Enoch? The Old Testament patriarch Enoch lived in Noah's days. Days when wickedness prevailed. And guess what he did? The Bible said he walked with God. Noah, the Bible said, walked with God. Abraham faced famines every time he turned around. But guess what he said about Abraham? Abraham was called the friend of God. Amen. What will happen to RBT? And I believe God is sending these messages, my friend, to build up that in our hearts. And that is, no matter what happens to us, we're going to focus on our spirituality and we're going to stay spiritual. We're going to try to stay right with God and maintain a level of fellowship with Jesus. That's good preaching if I am doing it. Amen. Well, it means it's locked down right there. But a lot of people, I'm going to tell you this, a lot of people are selling out the spiritual to maintain the securities. Are you listening? A lot of people's doing it. A lot of people's doing it. When it comes to that place where I'm going to have to make a decision of spiritual versus security, a lot of people say, well, you know what? The security is more important. I'm going to sell out the spiritual. I'm going to put secondhand the spiritual. I'm going to put on the back burner the spiritual. And I'm going to go with the security and use that as an excuse. Amen. Are you listening to this preacher? I knew that and you'd get quiet. Here's the way the Lord gave it to him. I wrote it down. Many use their need for securities to excuse their neglect of spiritual, of the spiritual. Well, preacher, you know what? I don't go to church because I've got 1,400 payments I got to pay. You know what they're saying? I've got securities I got to take care of. I got to make sure that I've got ample supply coming in. Amen. Even if it means selling out my prayer life and selling out reading the Word of God and sell out my church faithfulness. Amen. Many today have walked away from the spiritual in order to have the securities. But I'm going to tell you right now, and I know them and you do too, they're a dime a dozen, not just in Rogersville, they're everywhere, my friend, that's got the securities, but their spirituality is zero. They couldn't get a prayer through if their family depended on it. They couldn't get a prayer through if they faced a disaster, faced a trial, faced an urgent need for God to move. They couldn't get a prayer through to save their life. Why? They sold out the spiritual, stepped away from the spiritual to embrace the securities of Egypt. That's right. Better maintain your spirituality because you might need to pray one day. You might need to get a hold of God one day. You might need God in your life one day. Amen. Well, amen. Amen. From a world standpoint, Moses had it made. Had a famine hit Egypt, guess who one of the last ones to be affected by it would be? Moses. It would have affected the whole nation before it affected him. He had it made. Moses, you have it made. You have all you want. Do all you want to do. See all you want to see. Moses, what are you doing stepping away from that to go with the spiritual? Now, listen, folks, I hope y'all understand these messages are timely. These messages, I believe, God are sending our way on time and on purpose. Because I believe that in the future, we're all going to be faced with those issues of spiritual versus securities. And we're going to be faced with it. And listen, I believe God is trying to prep us. God is trying to prepare us, Brother Jacob, and get us ready, knowing ahead of time what God expects of us before those times come. Be better to know how to respond to a valley before the valley gets here, wouldn't it? Amen. Well, let me move on. Finances will never eliminate fear. In fact, most time it causes it. But now faith will eliminate fear. Amen? You know what fear is? Fear, when fear grips your life, especially when things get shaky and uncertain, you know what fear is? Fear is your faith in your finances. Woo! Fear, when we fall apart, collapse, fear is our faith being placed in our finances. And so if the finances is shaky, then our faith is shaky, because that's your faith is no greater than the object the object of faith. And so if your finances is the object of your faith and it's shaky and insecure and uncertain, then your faith is going to be shaky and uncertain. And then guess what's going to come in behind it? Fear. But the Bible said God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind. We're not fearful people controlled by fear. We're faith people. Four times in the Bible, the just shall live by faith. Faith. Our faith is not in our finances. Our faith, my friend, is in the Father. Amen.
I believe we ought to get that. Amen? God help us. Well, there's a lot of things we could say about Moses. But I believe the key factor about Moses was his faith. Why, Moses, did you do what you done? It was your faith. Your faith made these choices. Your faith did that. And I wonder where a lot of people's faith is at. Faith influences your choices. Faith influences your conduct. Faith influences your course. Faith influences your companions, who you run with. Amen? Faith is not supposed to be some sideline, my friend, spare tire that's hid out in the trunk of your car that you only use in time of a breakdown. Faith is not supposed to be the spare tire. Faith is supposed to be the steering wheel and the motor. Amen. That's right. God help us. Boy, the devil don't want us to get what's being preached. He don't want us to get a hold of this and start focusing on building our faith to where we're a people that's strong in faith. He don't want that. He wants us to be like everybody else and fall apart when things fall apart. But anyway, if you wanted to note this, just write this down. This is not what I'm going to preach, but it's a good way to look at this text of Scripture. What kind of faith did Moses have? Moses, in verse 24, had a refusing faith. What kind of faith do you have? It's your faith that's going to cause you to choose the spiritual over the securities. It's your faith that's going to do that. What kind did he have? He had a refusing faith. Verse 24. Look at it. By faith, Moses, when he was come to year, refused. What caused him to do that? His faith. All right, then verse number 25, he had a choosing faith. Everybody follow me? He had a refusing faith, then he had a choosing faith. And if you'll notice this, verse number 24 and 25 does not end with a period. In other words, this is one continuous flowing thought. And it started out with refusing. Then it led to choosing. He chose choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin of the season. And then verse number 26, he had an esteeming faith. Esteeming the verse 26, esteeming the approach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Verse number 27, he had a forsaking faith. By faith, he forsook Egypt. He had a forsaking faith. And then, verse 27, the last part of the verse, he had a seeing faith. The Bible said he's seeing Him who is invisible. What kind of faith we got? What kind of faith you got is going to tell you how you are going to make it when things are shaky and uncertain and questionable. What kind of faith you got? I didn't ask what kind of fun you're having. I said, listen, if you're not careful... Listen, when it gets time to getting shaky and things are uncertain, you'll focus on fun rather than your faith. Amen. God help us. But that's the kind of faith that Moses had. He had an enduring faith. He endured there in the verse. He endured. Amen. Verse 27, for by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured. He had an enduring faith. Amen. But the way I feel the Lord would have me to look at this, and we'll just start it and see how far we can go with it. But here's how the Lord, I believe, wants me to deal with it. Why did Moses choose the spiritual over the security? Now remember, Habakkuk didn't choose it. The securities just got stripped away from him. The widow in Luke 18, she didn't choose her condition or circumstance of insecurity. Her husband died. She didn't ask for that. But here, Moses made a choice to step away from the grip and control of the securities of the world to go with the spiritual. And here's the way I believe the Lord wants me to do. Verse number 24. I'll give you the outline and I'll come back and we'll just start dealing with them. Just basically 3 points. Number 1,
What caused him to do that? Number one, the spiritual is a greater measure. And I'll show you what I'm talking about when we deal with that in verse 24. The spiritual is a greater measure than the securities. The second thing we want to look at in verse number 25 is that he viewed the spiritual to be a greater pleasure than the securities. And then, number three, we'll look at, if the Lord will help us to get to it, we'll look in verse 26, as Moses' faith saw the spiritual to be a greater treasure. So he had a greater measure, a greater pleasure, and a greater treasure. You'll be able to remember that. All right, let's go back and look at that, or at least begin. The first thing I want you to notice with me is that the spiritual is a greater measure. And we'll probably just get this one, probably, but I want to look at it. Look at verse number 24. For by faith, verse 24, by faith Moses, when he, here's the key words, when he was come to years. Everybody see that in your Bible? By faith Moses, when he was come to years, his faith was active when he had reached this status of greatness. That word's come to years deals with greatness. In fact, 150 times it is translated great. The same word here that's used to be translated come to years is used 150 times, translated in our King James Bible as the word great. Moses had reached and attained the level of greatness. What a measure. Egypt, boy, Egypt could put their rule of measurement up against Moses, and they said, man, what a measure. What greatness. How many people that go to church today believe that if they could just be great, if they could just reach that level of greatness, man, I'd have it made. Moses, the Bible said, had reached that level. Moses had reached the level of greatness in Egypt's eyes. But he stepped away from it. He stepped away from it. Why? Because he knew there was a greater measure. He was great in Egypt's eyes, but he wanted to be great in God's eyes. And oh, I want to tell you, praise God, you know this to be true. You can be great in the world's eyes and not great in God's eyes. And you know this is also true. The Lord just showed me. You can be great in God's eyes and most definitely not be great in the world's eyes. Whose eyes you want to be great in? Ooh. Whose eyes are you wanting to be great in? What rule or measure are you living your life by? Oh, listen, young people, I know the message that's coming through the music and the media, my friend, and the magazines and all of that, my friend, to your life, and that is go after the American dream and reach that level of prominence and greatness and popularity. That's where you want to be. No, and most people are living for that. They're charting their course in that direction. A lot of parents are pushing their kids in that direction. We don't care if you never go to church. We don't. It's not. They wouldn't say that, but that's what they're doing. Well, it don't matter if you go to church. It don't matter if you how your relation is to the Word of God. As long as you're making big bucks.
That's right. Amen.
As long as you're making big bucks. Amen. God help us. But the spiritual is a greater measure. Why would I want to choose the spiritual, make it a priority in my life, instead of go with Egypt's securities and give myself to that, is because the spiritual is a greater measure. A greater measure of greatness. Amen? How many wants to be great? Don't raise your hand. How many really wants to be, I mean really, really in your heart,
You really want to be great in the eyes of God. I wonder how many could really raise their hand to that or say amen to that or nod your head to that. I wonder how many in their heart could really see. I mean, take a elevator down into your heart where your desires is and your will is and your wants, and look around in there and see a real desire for spiritual greatness. Moses had come to years. Moses had it made. He was a nobleman in Pharaoh's court. He had been trained and learned in all the wisdom of Egypt. He had the connections. He had everything laid out. It was a definite. He was headed to the throne. But Brother Craig, he stepped away from it to go with the spiritual. Because I tell you, something was working in him. And you know what it was, Brother Rob? It was his faith. It was his faith. You know where his faith come from? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word. We know that, Romans 10:17. You can't have faith without the Word. Is that right? Where did Moses' faith come from? You remember when his mother made that little ark, a bulrush, and put him in the river? And he floated down the river, making a long story short, floated down the river and floated right, it just happened. Whole big river, current going every which way. But he just happened to go right in there where the Egyptian girls, the Egyptian ladies was in there getting water, bathing, or whatever they're doing. And all of a sudden, here floats in a little ark of bulrush with a baby in it. That don't happen every day, does it? All of a sudden, they open that and they seen that baby. Well, what'd they do? They go get Pharaoh's daughter. Pharaoh's daughter comes down there and they open the lid of that ark, if it had a lid, then looked in it. And about that time, God reached in there and went, and that baby went, ah! The Bible don't say God pinched him, but it did say that the baby cried. And when the baby cried, her heart melted and she said, oh, I know he's a Hebrew, but I can't help it. I look at him. The Bible said he was a proper child. He didn't look like he come from some foreign planet. He was a good-looking child. You ever noticed how parents, when their babies are born, all babies are pretty? Have you ever heard people say that? Oh, look at that. And I'm just going to be honest with you. I've been preaching 28 years, and I've seen a lot of babies. And a lot of babies are not pretty. Amen. Let's just be honest. Amen. I mean, look what they went through. It is no wonder. Amen. Lord, help. But anyway, I ain't going to get on that. Lord, help us. Amen. But he was a proper child. Let me get back on my message. Come on now. Let's get back on the message. He was a proper child. And Pharaoh's daughter saw him and her heart was moved and she picked him up and she took him to herself. The Bible said he was refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. She would always address him as her son. He was raised thinking he was her son. Well, you know what babies need, don't you? Babies need to be fed. And they didn't have powdered milk and all that junk back then. And so Pharaoh's daughter couldn't feed him. So she said, go find, hear Providence again, said, go get one of the Hebrew women to come in here and nurse Moses. Guess who they went and got? Just happened. I mean, out of hundreds of thousands, possibly, of Hebrew women could have been picked. There's Mama. Hey, boy, the devil thought he thinks he's ahead of the game. When really the truth is, Moses' mama got paid to feed her own son. Hey, man, I want to tell you what happened. I want to tell you what happened, brother. Every day, Moses' mama, hey, man,
knowing the God of Abraham. My friend, I'll tell you, as she had that baby Moses sitting on her knee, nursing him, brother, she taught him and trained him up in the truth of God's Word. And it looked like as he went up through the levels of Egypt's measure, it looked like it was not going to do anything, but all of a sudden inside of him, that faith began to churn. That faith began to work. My friend, he knew he wasn't an Egyptian. He knew he wasn't of that bunch. He knew he was a Hebrew. Amen. And that faith caused him, even though he'd reached the level of greatness, to not be content with that. He wanted to go with the spiritual. So I believe that tells us the spiritual is the thing that will satisfy and content you versus success or the security. Amen? He had experienced and lived Egypt's life of greatness. His greatness was measured by Egypt's standard. His greatness was one of position, popularity, prestige, prominence, and power. His position, his greatness was one of glamour and recognition and honor and fame. One that everybody would dream about, Brother Rob. But you know what? Moses, because of his faith, Moses said, I want to be great spiritually instead of great financially or great with securities. And I know about everybody in here, most everybody in here claims to be saved, but I wonder how many in this building, if we get put to the point of pressure, if the pressure gets on and puts us to the point where we have to make a choice, I wonder how many of us will do some refusing. I wonder if we will refuse that identity of success, that recognition of success, that status of success, and go with God. I wonder how many of us in this building, I'm asking myself, if we get put to the pressure, and the pressure's coming, has anybody not known that already? Pressure's coming on every household. Pressure's coming upon, listen, our young people. Listen, I wish it was like it was when I was growing up. I mean, you could just about count on it when I was growing up that there's going to be jobs and there's going to be success. You know, if you chose it, I mean, if you wanted to be a no-account bum, then you could do that. But I mean, if you wanted to do something, make something out of yourself, you could do that. But boy, what's looking like for our young people as far as this world's concerned? It ain't looking so good. The only thing that's really prospering is jobs that involves wickedness and sin and ungodliness. Amen. Gambling's not suffering. Amen. Pornography ain't suffering. Wickedness ain't drinking, drugs, amen, alcohol, all that junk piped in from hell itself. That stuff's not suffering. Have you heard of any Budweiser plants having to close down? Huh? Oh, no. Hugh Hefner filed unemployment yet? No, I guarantee all that rot, buddy, it'll be making the billions when there's hardly no billions to be made. Hey man, but I want to tell you, God's people need to make up our mind now. What are we going to do when the pressure gets on? Are we going to go with God? Or are we going to try to measure up with the world's greatness and sell out our spiritual life? It happens. It happens all the time. Hey man, your faith must be in charge of your life to view the spiritual to be a greater measure. If you don't view it to be a greater measure, then you'll never choose to go that route. Amen. Amen. Wouldn't it be good if we had some boys and girls in here that would surrender this morning? Or maybe you have surrendered, but to just refresh that commitment to God that says, God, I want to be great in your eyes. I want to be a great Christian. And let me say this to you. I was going to mention it a little bit later on. Greatness. You know who was called great in the Bible? John the Baptist. John the Baptist, the Bible said there was none greater born of a woman than John the Baptist. Guess what? John the Baptist, Brother John, didn't have but a 6-month ministry. had a 6-month ministry, preached against sin, and it ended up getting his head cut off. Didn't look too great in the world's eyes, or even in the religious community's eyes. Didn't look too great. Just have a little short ministry and died a martyr's death. Didn't look too great. But Jesus said, none born of one woman greater than John. Amen. God don't view greatness and measure greatness, my friend, looking at what you drive and where you live. God don't measure greatness, my friend, by your bank account. God measures your greatness by your heart. Amen. Do you have a heart for Him? Oh, young ladies and young men here at the church, may God fire you up to want to have a heart for Him, to want to be great by His measure, not great by the world's measure. Amen. Let me move on, can I? Thank you. I didn't get too many amens, or I didn't want to wait for a response there. He refused. The Bible, the word refused means he declined. He denied it. He renounced it. He disregarded it. Amen. Listen, it means to disregard his own interest. To refuse to be called the sons of Pharaoh's daughter meant he, my friend, contradicted it. He started going the opposite. Now what would you think? She would have thought, now Moses, look at all I've done for you. You know, you better watch out for sympathy. There's a lot of people sold out the spiritual for the sympathy. Amen? Well, I don't want to hurt their feelings. Huh? What about God? He's got feelings. He can be grieved. Does that not indicate feelings? Huh? Well, amen. But I don't want, you know, I don't want them to think bad about me, preacher. Better watch putting your ox in the ditch. So what's that got to do with anything? If your ox gets put in the ditch on the Sabbath, get it out. But don't put your ox in the ditch. Amen? I tell you, listen, I'm going to tell you what's a risk. When you see the securities being shaky and uncertain, Brother Mark, I tell you what it'll be, do. Go to your boss and say, look, boss, I want to work all I can work. I'll work 24 sevens. I'll work 15 tens. But what about church? I can't help that. What about your prayer life? Well, I ain't worried about that. I got to make sure I got to have the income. You know what's more important? Amen. That's right. But he refused. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Missionaries. Well, I respect missionaries. Missionaries step away from securities. You ever thought about that? We have here at the church because we're faced with it all the time. Missionaries step away from securities. Brother Mark, you gave that illustration today about that man. It's going to be stepping away from a salary and a full-time income. And his, I think you said his income is going to be cut probably, what, two-thirds? Going to be cut two-thirds. For what? Ministry. Are you listening? Ministry. To go and serve. Missionaries. I've heard of missionaries. My friend that was filthy rich, making big bucks. And we support some of them. Engineers and so forth. And they got the call of God on their life to go to Timbuktu in another country to be a missionary. Step away from all of that income to go with the spiritual. And they're happy as a bug in a rug. Why? It's the spiritual that'll content you. Not the other. Amen. I tell you what I want to do. We'll just stop right there. Lord willing, if the Lord will help me, I want to preach the rest of it tonight.